The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Good to see everybody here this morning. We are going to jump into our message for today, and I'm excited about this because all week I've had time to think about this. I haven't had time to really dig into my study until this weekend. We were doing a lot of traveling. We drove about almost 1,400 miles, which sounds ridiculously crazy, but we did a lot of traveling this weekend. Had two conferences, and so a lot of time on the road. And I, being the intelligent guy that I am, made sure that I was the only one on the rental agreement so that I was the only one that could drive. Yeah, that made a lot of sense. It was a lot of time behind the wheel. So luckily everybody, actually no one was sleeping. I don't understand that. Whenever someone else is driving, I always sleep because I take advantage of the time to sleep. But whenever I drive, no one sleeps because maybe there's something to that. I'm going to think about that. All right, well, this morning, we're going to be talking about the constant connection. And if you've ever had close contact with someone, spend a lot of time with them, like in a vehicle for an extended period of time, there's like this continuous contact, this continuous conversation. You know, it's not like those phone calls where you say goodbye and that ends the conversation. When you're riding in a car with someone, it's like one continuous conversation. And if you're driving a great distance, it's like that conversation never stops. Even when there's long pauses, it's like you still kind of pick up the conversation where you left off. You know, everybody's just kind of thinking about what you said. And so, unless you have music to distract you from holding conversations. But for the most part, there's just this continual conversation. And I want to talk to you about this morning because as believers, as followers of Jesus, there needs to be this continual conversation between us and God. There needs to just be this continuous interaction between us and Him. I mean, think about the privilege that we have, first of all, of having access to God at all times. We've talked about that. And then think about the fact that we have just this unlimited amount of time when we're usually not doing anything that we can be connecting with God. And we don't have to be in a particular place. We don't have to be doing a particular thing. I mean, God is always available at all times. And so we're going to talk about that constant connection and what it really means to be connected to God at all times. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about some misconceptions we have about this connection with God. And we did this a couple weeks ago when I spoke. I brought up some misconceptions because sometimes there are like these ideas that we get in our head that become roadblocks between us and really having the kind of connection that God wants us to have with Him. And so we allow these misconceptions to kind of derail us and we don't get to connect with God in the way that He wants us to because of that. And so let's talk about some of the misconceptions that we have when it comes to being connected to God. So the first one is God is too far away. God is too far away. Have you ever got the sense that when you go to pray to God, that you're the only person in the room? That maybe your prayers are just bouncing off the walls or off the ceiling? And that it's like a one-sided conversation. And there's this little bit of hope in the back of your mind that maybe God heard what you said. But sometimes it just feels like the room's empty apart from you. Have you experienced that before? We get the sense that there's this incredible distance between us and God, and how can our feeble prayers span that distance? So that's a major roadblock that we have. Let me just encourage you with a couple of scriptures that hopefully will help you get over this roadblock. The first one is from Psalms 145, verse 18. It says, "The Lord is close to all who call on Him, yes, to all who call on Him in truth." I love this verse because it doesn't get any more clear than that, that God is near to everyone who calls on him. All means all. That's every single person who calls on God or comes to him in sincerity. God is there for them. Now, when Paul visited Athens, he came across all these idols that the people worshipped. And they had one particular idol, and it was to the unknown God. And Paul took advantage of this opportunity to connect with these people and to make them understand that although they felt this disconnect between them and this God who could not be known, Paul wanted them to know that, yes, you can know this God. You can be close to this God. And so he tells them this. He describes, first of all, how God created us and how God created us for relationship with him and how God sent his son, Jesus, to come to the earth. And so as he goes down through the history of who God is, this unknown God that they had no experience with, he says this in Acts 17, 27. He said, God did this so that men would reach out for him and find him. He is not far from any one of us. And so I think that if the message to a group of people who don't know God and have never experienced him, and they're so distant from God to begin with that they actually call him the unknown God or the God who cannot be known. If those people can have a closeness with God, then shouldn't we, the people of God, the people who have said yes to him and have invited him to come into our lives, shouldn't we be able to have that much more access to God? See, I think that this is a major thing for us to get over before we can really have the kind of connection that God wants us to have with him, that sense that God is distant. I wasn't here last week, but I read someone's tweet about what Jerry said about being distant from God. He said that if God feels distant from you, it's not because God is the one that is moved. It's because our hearts, it's because the direction of our life has taken us away from God. But God is always there. And so understand that when it comes to this misconception of God being far away, the reality is that God is even more real and more present than the things that we can feel and things that we can touch. So the second misconception, I think, is that prayer can't change anything. Prayer can't change anything. Have you ever thought that maybe God has just made up his cosmic mind and everything is exactly the way God wants it to happen, and so if I pray and I ask God to change something, I mean, what am I doing? I'm almost insulting God because this is the God that has everything planned out, that knows everything. And so if I go to him and say, God, would you change this for me? I mean, I get that feeling. Do you get that sense that when you pray, maybe your prayers aren't going to have any effect on a God who already has things mapped out? I don't know. And then I'm reading through the book of James, and I come across this verse. James 5:16, that says, the earnest prayer of a righteous man or person has great power and produces effective results. I'm going to read it one more time. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces effective results. Okay, so this is the curveball, because in our understanding of a God who has everything planned out down to the detail, he somehow, because he's God, he somehow incorporates our prayers, our desires, our cries to him. He somehow incorporates that into his all-knowing plan. And I don't understand how it works because I'm not God. And if you were to sit down with me and say, Jeremiah, explain to me how God can have everything planned out and yet my prayers can still be powerful and effective, I would say to you, I don't know. But I believe it. I believe it because God's word tells me that. But you'll also notice there's a little bit of stipulation on this because it says the earnest prayer or the sincere prayer. And remember we talked a couple weeks ago about what it means to pray sincerely. It means to pray from a heart that's aligned with God. And so if we have a heart that's pursuing the things that God wants us to pursue and the things that are important to God are the things that are important to us, then our hearts are aligned with God and we can pray with sincerity. And when we do that, God says that our prayer has power and produces effective results. So prayer in itself becomes the agent of change. Prayer becomes the agent of change. Now, I know that's just a brief summary of these misconceptions we have when it comes to praying, but I hope that the next time you go apart and spend time with God, or maybe when you're driving down the road and you begin to have that conversation with God, I hope that you realize that God is very near. He's not at all distant. And that you understand that your prayers are effective. They do have power. And that's what this series is all about. It's about reminding us that we can have this connection with God. And think about the fact that it's a connection that God set up for us. And so if God designed this connection for us, obviously he knows what he's doing. And so we can trust him when he says, I'm right there when you pray, and your prayers have power. Okay? Let's pray, and we'll dig into this. Father, thank you so much for just being that amazing God, that although you are so magnificent, and although you are so grand, God, you still involve us in your creation. You involve us in your story. You've invited us to be a part of it. And I thank you for that. I thank you, God, that you're never far away from us. God, that you are always near. And I thank you, God, that you remind us that when we pray to you, our prayers really do have power, and they really are effective. And God, as we look at this idea of being constantly connected to you, would you remind us, God, of your truth and your word? And Father, would you encourage us, instill in us a desire to be a people that are connected to you at all times? And I pray that as I speak this morning, that my words will be your words. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first takeaway this morning is that the connection is always available. The connection is always available. This past week, we were at a conference up at Mount Hermon, which is up in the mountains above Santa Cruz, and there was terrible cell service. I mean, it was one of those things, like, you've seen people that are trying to get good cell service, and it always, I don't know if it's true that this happens or not, but I make fun of people that do it, but, you know, they're looking for a cell signal, and they go, as if somehow there's going to be stronger cell service over here. And then they're just like, oh, I got to get a signal here. I got to get a signal. It was like that. I actually was at the point where I was doing that. And we were in our cabin, Debbie and I and Josiah. And Debbie had this great service. I mean, she's like watching Netflix, you know, all this social media stuff, you know. And I'm just like, I can't even send a text message. What's going on? We're the same provider, right? And I can't even get a signal. And so I'm like going all over the cabin and, like, I just want to communicate with the world. This wasn't happening. Here's the first thing that we need to understand about God. This connection with God is always available. There's never like a poor service area when it comes to our connection with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 through 18. Paul says this. He says, never stop praying. Offer thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you to be always praying. Now, God would not tell us to be in a continual state of prayer if he was not continually available to hear those prayers. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, would you tell somebody, call me between the hours of 8 and 5? Why do you tell them that? Because you know those are the times that I'm available. Maybe it's not that long of a period of time for you. Maybe it's like, call me between the hours of 4:30 and 5. But the point is, when God has specific business hours for us, and the business hours are all the time, I think we can trust that. When God invites us to be in constant communication with him, we know that he's always available for us. Ephesians 6:18, Paul says this. He says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Now, this is just the first part of the verse. We're actually going to talk about the second part in just a moment. But I want you to think about this. Every occasion. The word in the Greek is the word kairos. And it literally means this. The opportune point of time at which a thing should be done. Okay? So the appropriate time, the best time at which a thing should be done. And how does he describe that particular occasion? He describes it with the word every. In other words, every moment is the opportune time to talk to God. There is not a moment that's not the perfect moment. Have you ever wanted to say something to someone so bad and you catch them when they're on the way going somewhere or they're busy or something and you just get that feeling like, oh man, I really wanted to say that and I'm going to forget about it and, you know, you write it down on your arm or something, but, you know, you're going to wash that arm eventually. And the truth is, there's never a time when we cannot talk to God. I mean, we can think of inopportune times to communicate between us as humans. When I think about an inopportune time for communication, this is the picture I get in my head. At the dentist. Please tell me this happens to you. I don't want to be the only person this ever happens to. But when the dentist gets your mouth full of gauze and pieces of metal that he's sticking in there, does he not ask you a question like, so what do you do for a living? And you're like, I'm a professional gargler. That's what I do for a living, apparently. But it's not the opportune time to communicate with somebody when you've got something in their mouth and they're laying back in that chair. They're drooling all over the place. But for some reason, that's like the time they want to. I had a dentist growing up who was notorious. And I think my longest conversations with this man were when I was sitting in a dentist chair with my mouth wide open and I had gauze or a tool or that suction hose, you know, and it's like the conversation is totally one-sided. I mean, he's just like, so you like school? Oh, you do? Yeah. Somehow he understood everything I was saying. You know, how are your grades? Ooh, B in math, huh? Yeah, he understood everything I was saying, even though, you know, to me it was just, there was no communication going on. Okay, understand there's never an inopportune time for us to talk to God. There's never a moment when God's not available. There's never a wrong time for us to come to him. That's why I say there's no wrong time to connect with God. He's made himself constantly available to us. God has deliberately made himself constantly available to us. And he doesn't have to do that. I mean, God could have created all of us, set the world spinning, and just stepped back and said, you know what? I want some me time. I'm just going to let this thing roll and see what happens. God doesn't do that. God is very much involved with us. He's very much involved with his creation. And so for us, there's no wrong time to connect with God. So the second thing I want you to take with you, and by the way, there's only two things, so this will be easy to remember. The connection is always available. The second thing is the connection is unlimited. The connection is unlimited. Now, most cell service companies started doing this thing where before you could communicate with people and you would pay for your minutes, okay? You could go on the web if you had internet access on your phone. And then now they started charging something they call the data package. Am I right? Okay, so it may be $30 for you, $30 a month, whatever it might be. All of a sudden, something that you were able to do, they started charging you for it. They were like, okay, you can have this many gigabytes, you can have this many megabytes, whatever it is, and that's like the package that you pay for. If you go over that, you're going to have to sell your car in order to pay for your internet service. It's not that way with God. It's not that way with him. The connection that we have is unlimited. And I love what Jesus does because he expresses the fact that we have this unlimited contact with him in some pretty humorous ways. He actually tells two ridiculous parables. One of those we're going to read, but the first one that he tells is about a guy who's in his house, fast asleep, And a stranger comes up to the door and starts knocking and asking for bread. And the guy gets up. He's on the top floor. He gets up. He goes downstairs. He opens the door, and he gives the guy bread. And the reason that Jesus gives for why this guy does this is because he doesn't want him to wake up the entire house. He's just like, man, I better just get what this guy wants, get him what he needs, and get back in bed. Okay? So Jesus tells a story, and God represents the guy that was upstairs. And so I'm reading the parable, I'm like, that's a terrible illustration. I'm like, Jesus, couldn't you come up with something better than that? You know, I don't want to be like knocking on God's door and God's like, ah, it's Jeremiah again. What does he want? Jeez, just want a break. But I think it's brilliant that he's not focusing on the fact that the guy comes down because he doesn't want his family to be woken up. The point is that this stranger comes at the most inopportune time. And yet he still is able to receive. Okay, so then Jesus tells another parable. We'll read this one in Luke 18. It says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. I love this story. Okay, so Jesus is telling this story, and I'm pretty sure his disciples are like, wait a second. This sounds kind of like that other story you told where, you know, it sounds like we're annoying God or bothering God. But the focus of the story is not on the judge, okay? The focus of the story is on the widow, and Jesus goes on to explain that he says, okay, my point is that this widow was consistent. She was persistent. It says she repeatedly came to the judge, and finally the judge gave her justice. And then he says this. He says, now, if that judge who doesn't fear God and hates to be around people, if that guy will give her request, wouldn't a God who is all about justice and loves you dearly, wouldn't that God be that much more likely to give you what you want or to respond to your request? So the point is not the callousness of the judge. The point is the ridiculous persistence of this widow. How many of us in our prayer life are ridiculously persistent? How often are we communicating with God? Do we have a rhythm of communication with the God who loves us and wants to communicate with us? I think this is a challenge for us. I think the challenge for us, knowing that we have a constant communication with God, at least a constant open communication with him, I think the challenge is for us to develop a regular cadence of communication with our Father. And it sounds like something that's going to take some work. It sounds like a habit, doesn't it? I mean, if you're going to do something repeatedly, over and over again, and you're not going to forget, and you're always going to be doing it. It becomes a habit. It becomes a part of who you are. And I believe that's God's point here. He wants us to become a part of who we are. Matter of fact, he says this in Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. We talked about that first part of the verse. Second part is this. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers. So he says, I want you to be praying all the time and every occasion, and then be alert and persistent in your prayers. What does he mean by that? The word alert in the Greek, agrupneo, it means to be sleepless, to lie awake. Now, sometimes when we go to bed at night, my wife has information she'd like to give me. I have this problem where the moment, like the second my head hits the pillow, I'm gone. I'm asleep. That's it. I mean, I think it actually happens before my head hits the pillow. Like on the way down, she's like, poof. By the time and so sometimes Debbie will have a story and she'll want to tell me something and then she'll get frustrated because I'm like, I'm already in the land of nod. I'm gone. I'm out of there. This alertness that he's describing is you can't sleep. Have you ever laid awake and just unable to sleep because your mind is just racing? There's so many thoughts going. This is the idea here, that you're so alert that even if you wanted to, you could not fall asleep. That's what he's talking about. And then he says persistent. And the word here is proskarteresis. It means with great endurance and increasing firmness. With great endurance and increasing firmness. Now, so I'm thinking in my life, is there something that has happened or does happen where there's alertness, wide awakeness, and there's persistency. There's great endurance and increasing intensity. And this is what I came up with. Okay, now, you're just seeing the picture right now. The words haven't come up on the screen yet, but do you know what's happening here, right? Do you know what these kids are saying? They're asking that question that every kid asks when you get in a car and you start down the road. You could be 5 miles down the road, or you could be 500 miles down the road. And what's the question?
Are we there yet?
Yes. And do they ask it one time?
No.
I've been on so many youth trips where people are just, you got a 15-passenger van, and about half the people in there want to know where we are and how much time it is before we get to our destination. Or when's the next bathroom stop? And so there's just this persistent with increasing intensity. I mean, it just keeps coming. The questions just keep coming. I can't stop them. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know what I started doing? I started just saying yes. Yeah, I started. Are we there yet? Yes. They're like, oh, okay. Then, you know, like an hour later, they're like, wait a second here. Where's the van still moving? We're not there yet. Are we there? Yes, we're there. Okay. It works. I don't know. For a while anyway. The point is, are you like that child who innocently is coming persistently? I mean, with alertness, wide awake, wanting to know. Is that how you come to God? And you say, God, here it is. I just can't wait to give this to you. I just can't wait to talk to you about this. I can't sit still in the back seat of the car because that's how badly I want to communicate with you. I think that if we had a full understanding of God's constant availableness, of the fact that God is never far from us, the fact that our prayers are effective, that they are powerful, if we could grasp those truths from God's word, what would that do to our prayer life? What would that do to our communication with God? How would we communicate differently with God? See, God places no limitations on the frequency and the duration of our communication with him. There's no limits when it comes to this conversation with God. You know what God says to us? He says, bring it on. You think you can drive me crazy? I'd like to see you try. And so the God of the universe, the God that created this world, the God that holds this creation in his hands, is a God that desires to be in constant contact with us. And my hope is that we take advantage of that. My hope is that we become a people that have a regular rhythm of communication with God. I mean, imagine praying to God and never saying amen. You know what I'm talking about? It's like every time we pray, we say, dear God or Heavenly Father, and then when we're finished, at the end we say, In Jesus' name, amen. And it's like we bookended our prayer. It's like it had a starting point and it had an ending point. What if God's intention for us was not that our prayer would have a starting point and an ending point? What if God's intention for us is that our prayer was a nonstop conversation with him? What would life be like if prayer was just a continuous dialogue between you and the creator of this earth? You don't have to wonder that, because it can be that. You are the one that has control over that. You have control over how often and how long you communicate with God. And so as God invites us into this place of constant communication with him, I would encourage you to step into that, recognizing how incredible it is that we have the ability to do that. That we have the ability to come to God all the time and any time. It really is amazing. And I think if we're going to communicate with God in the way that he wants us to, this is the way he's set up. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm getting it from God's word. I mean, this is God's plan for how we're supposed to communicate with him. And what if we started doing that? How different would our lives be? Let's pray.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.